Welcome back to Rockhound Radio, your podcast for gaming and then everything and anything in between. From ghosts and ghouls to Bigfoot to horror myths to Pokemon to D&D, we got it all here. Thanks for tuning in. What is up, everybody? Welcome back for another Friday Spectacular. We are, we're going to hang out this week and talk about the elephant in the room, Christmas. Well, not really Christmas, but some things and some stories from all around the world. But it's more like instead of, you know, red lights and green lights and Santa's snow, you know, his sleigh and the reindeer, we're going to be talking about all the creepy, crazy, and downright. I read some of these earlier today, and they're kind of terrifying, honestly. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited to talk about this. But before we jump into all that, just want to remind you guys that every Tuesday we're probably going to be covering Pokemon White 2 for the foreseeable future. Probably, I don't know, at least couple months, I would imagine. It's going to take a while to get through because we're just taking our time, man. You know, kind of getting back to the roots of the show. You know, we got the pen and the paper. We're just hanging out, playing some Pokemon, and just enjoying ourselves. So, yeah, as far as, you know, if I ever get the computer fixed, I will be able to upload some more videos, hopefully. I imagine they'll all be saved. But, then you guys can get back to checking out the rest of Assassin's Creed one of these days. But anyway, for all the gaming hoopla, we're not here for that. We're here to talk about the Christmas Haunted Holiday Tales. And this is, I actually read this on USA Today, because a lot of these websites that I've used before, like, not saying they're not, like, legit stories, because I have seen several stories pop up, but I was like, wow, USA Today published it. You know, we'll check out and see what their article is. It's actually pretty good. So, oh, man, I just started at the top, and I'll post a link, too, if you guys want to check this out. This is from December 20th, 2022. Christmas in America has long been about receiving presents from Santa for being nice, or at worst, getting a lump of coal for being naughty. Through Jolly St. Nicholas has been a staple, the holiday season has historically had a sinister side across Europe. Screwed that one up. In pagan and other pre-Christian traditions, legends arose of mythical beings who emerged during the long nights around the solstice to dole out more extreme punishment to those who weren't on their best behavior. Now, this is basically, a lot of these stories are, you know, I'll just say, you know, quote unquote made up, so, you know, that scare the kids. But some of, you know, if you would have told me this when I was a child, some of these stories, man, I probably would have been terrified. No doubt that a lot of those kids back then were probably very well behaved because their parents told them fucking monsters are outside, bro, and they'll eat you. So the first one we have on this list is, I believe it is Bell Snickle. And you see this like grizzly face of a guy with a big white beard, and not like a huge beard, but like a medium length beard. And he's wearing like a wool cap or some kind of cap, and it almost looks like blood because it's red. The picture's in black and white, and his hat's like kind of smeared red, so I would assume that they're, you know, talking about blood. The origin is Palatinate region, southwestern Germany. Bell Snickle is a German monster who visits children to whip them into shape as foil to Jolly St. Nicholas. Bell Snickle's name comes from bells, an older German word for fur, and nickel, as a nod to St. Nicholas. He wears a mask and dresses in all furs, and is said to visit alone and quiz children before deciding to either reward them with a gift or punish them with a wooden rod, which is like carrying like a, looks like he's carrying like a very thick switch. Bell Snickle may have originated around the Middle Ages and is, well, now, yeah, blah. Now well known across Pennsylvania, thanks to German immigrants who moved to the area known as Pennsylvania Dutch. Which I believe I've heard of, or maybe seen somewhere, like people talking about like Pennsylvania Dutch and things. But what was I going to say? Oh, you know what I wanted to start out the episode with saying was, I completely forgot up until about, I don't know, 5 minutes ago that I was supposed to be recording a podcast episode for today. I told myself this morning I'll be off work early, I'll go home and I'll get it knocked out. Yeah, well, sometimes I forget, but nevertheless, I'm here. Now, here's one that a lot of people are probably very familiar with, or at least heard about, or heard in passing, the old Krampus. Now, this is by far like one of my favorites, just because of like the way that they, like just like the artwork of Krampus and like what he's supposed to look like. You know, you got the goat hooves and the big horns, and he's all furry, looks like a devil. It's just, I don't know, it's pretty cool. Eastern Alpine Europe, particularly Germany and Austria, Krampus, whose name derives from the German word krampen, meaning claw, is a half goat, half man monster hailing from the European Alpine region of Europe. Krampus is rumored to punish children who have been naughty to the evening on the evening of December 5th, also known as Krampusnacht, by whipping them, eating them, or dragging them to hell. His benevolent counterpart, Saint Nicholas, will then gift children who have been good on the following day, known as the Feast of Saint Nicholas. Celebrations involving the two began in pre-Christian times as far back as the 6th century. Today, many European towns host Krampuslauf or Krampus Run, events where men dress as Krampus and run amok, causing chaos. People also send holiday cards featuring Krampus called Krampuskarten. Blah. Yeah, it's always like a God tongue twister. I always get mixed up with them. Man, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine going to like, and I think I've seen these festivals online or at least videos of like people running through the streets. It's actually pretty cool. There's a lot of stuff that, yeah, what am I trying to say here? There's a lot of stuff that like little cities or even like bigger places do that would shock the hell out of you because you just never, you know what I mean? It kind of comes back to that local thing. If you live in an area and you know what I mean, like everybody has their own little local shindigs, and if you're not from the area, you're going to miss out on some things or, you know, whatever, and so on and so forth. Anyway, pretty cool. Krampus, like I said, that's one that a lot of people are at least familiar with when you talk about, you know, things like this or like the scary side of Christmas. I found this one particularly interesting because it's like a lot of setup for kind of an insane story. So this is the Yule Lads, the parents and their cat. And this is originated in Iceland. The Yule Lads are 13 mischievous boys, each with a distinct name and description, who cause mayhem in 13 days leading up to Christmas. They dwell in a mountainous cave with their parents and a cat. Lepalui, their dad, is crazy and stays in the cave. Their mom, Gryla, is a giantess who seeks out naughty children to add to her stew. The cat's name is Yolakanotoran, which is also known as a Yule cat. It is a giant black cat who lurks in the countryside to devour anyone who isn't wearing new clothes. The Yule Lad's first mention was in a 17th century poem, and in 1746, the Icelandic government banned parents from telling scary stories about them to their kids. Today, they have a merrier connotation and are said to come down from the mountains to celebrate and entertain. Can you imagine that, like, how did that even happen? How did the government ban the parents? Did a bunch of kids like hang out and be like, "Oh my God, my parents are telling me about this," and then like some of the government officials' kids caught wind of it and got scared shitless, and the guys in the government were just like, "Hey, you know what? No, you gave my kid night terrors. We're fucking done with this, dude. No need to scare the children that bad." Yeah, can you just imagine? Like, oh, there's a giant cat out there that'll, you know, eat you if you're not wearing your new clothes. Like, oh. Like, who makes this shit up? It's wild. What's this other one? Frau Perchta. There we go. Alpine, Austria, and Germany. Sorry, my I won't. I did take German, like my freshman year of high school. So I try to like I sort of know some of like how to very loosely. Do I have an idea about how to pronounce some of it? Not a lot, though, by any means. Also known by Berchta and other variations, is a goddess from Alpine paganism in the early Middle Ages. That's another good episode topic, is like some of the fucking most wicked, you know, maybe if we have some time, we'll look up like the top three most crazy pagan gods or whatever, because that stuff is another ginormous rabbit hole. She's associated with Birkenstag, or the fest of the Epiphany, which takes place on the 12th night after Christmas on January 6th. Her name means bright one because, depending on your behavior, she could either appear as a bright, youthful woman whereas a scary older witch with a long beaked nose, one large foot, tattered clothes, and a knife under her skirt. Perchta is known to torment people who didn't properly celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. If you spun a yarn on a holiday or didn't feast properly, she was said to come to your house while you slept, slit your belly, rip out your guts, and replace them with straw and pebbles. Like, what? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, the picture of this they have for this one is like a, it's just shows like a woman with like antlers coming out of her head, like big, almost like elk size antlers. I don't know. That one kind of seems a little wild to me. I don't think I've ever known anybody personally that has celebrated like the 12 days of Christmas. You know what I mean? They're like, oh yeah, we did, you know, we celebrated the 12 days and like specifically did things. I don't know. Here's another good one. This one originated in Norway. I'm sorry. And the last one was, no, I already said that. This is Nisse. It's N-I-S-S-E, Nisse, I think. Known as a tomt in Sweden, is what we think of as a gnome, a tiny bearded man wearing a red cone-shaped hat. In the year 1200, a Stuish, yeah, Stuish. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. A Swedish man found a 6-inch tall wooden statue depicting one in a fisherman's house in Norway with the words Nisse Riktid Storlis, which translate to Nisse, or whatever I said, correct size. They like to stand around, or like to stay around farms and help others and help with chores. In return, they request a bowl of porridge with butter on top. And if they don't get that, they will wreak havoc. I think they're really pulling, grasping straws on this one. When the Nisse got no butter on his Christmas porridge, it's a tale about a girl putting butter at the bottom of a Nisse's porridge instead of on the top. When they first saw the porridge, he got upset, killed the farm's best cow, and then came back to eat the porridge. Upon discovering the butter at the bottom, he felt remorse and stole the neighbor's best cow to replace the one he killed. Okay, like, what the, what? I don't. Granted, I read through these earlier, and I still had the same kind of reaction right now as I did before when I read it. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? The shit's not all there. Some of these people, I'm convinced, after reading, and this is only, I can only imagine for people who's been making content for years and years, but in the year and a half that, well, not even year and a half, in the year-ish, well, a little over a year that I've done this, I have read so many different stories about, you know, whatever, hauntings, ghost stories, fucking aliens, Sasquatch, the whole nine yards. And I'm here to tell you, there's always stories that are in these articles that you can just tell that the writers are like, I don't know, dude, fucking, you know, we got 5 out of 8. You just have to make up three myths real quick. You know, oh, we'll make one a swamp monster. We'll make one gnomes. Oh, we'll just use gnomes, but we'll rewrite them for Christmas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is fucking bonkers, dude. The last one, maybe? Nope. Second from last one. Hans Trapp. The origin is the Alsace-Lorraine region of France. Hans Trapp, also known as the Christmas Scarecrow, was derived from the real story of a knight named Hans von Trotha. Von Trotha lived in the 1400s and got into arguments with the Catholic Church over property, which eventually led him to being excommunicated after he destroyed a dam that flooded a village. Just to kind of put it in perspective, dude, back then, the church just pretty much ruled everything. Not saying that they don't now, you know, in, you know, a certain case, some churches at least. The legend of Hans Trapp says he was a greedy man who was exiled for working with the devil to get more wealthy. While exiled, he disguised himself as a scarecrow and snatched up children to eat, and then got struck by a lightning bolt and died. But he is said to reappear in the scarecrow attire at Christmas time, preying on naughty children for food. So, like, that one I can get. You know what I mean? Like, fucking scarecrow monster is going to gobble your ass up, kid, if you don't listen. You know what I mean? Do your damn chores. Oh, man. And the last one we have on this list. They got, like, some artwork in the article, and it makes the names really hard to even read. But this originated in Greece and southeastern Europe. I tell you what, you notice how, like, all these have been, you know, across the pond? Yeesh, yikes. Hold on a second. Calacant Zeroy, And Kella Canceroy, I don't know, are a group of blind black goblins who live underground during most of the year, sawing at the world trees, a motif throughout various folklores that connects the heavens to the earth. They emerge during the 12 days of Christmas and wreak havoc and turn children born that time into fellow Kella can Cali Cants Zaro, whatever I see. You know what? I'm sorry. There's some of this shit, like, who the fuck knows, man? Half of this one is probably, well, not that they're all made up. I mean, they're all stories, so they're technically all made up. But, like, come on, man. If you want to protect your child, blind or bind them in straw and garlic. If you want to protect your house, keep a fire burning and place a colander outside the door. They will get distracted trying to count the holes, but will lost, get lost. Oh my God! Here we go. I don't even know what they're. The reason I'm fumbling over the words because I'm struggling to understand what the fuck is even wrote. The Kaleo Kanzaro will get distracted trying to count the holes, but will get lost at three because it's a holy number. What? You know what I mean? Like, the first couple of those are really good. Like, really good. You know, maybe the mountain, you know, the one that the mountain cat will eat you, like that, because that's a fucking possibility. You know what I mean? You live up in the mountains, mountain lion could get your ass. Like Krampus, all those, like those are good, like good, creepy stories to tell. You're gonna tell me that I guess if you wanted to scare your kid, you could make him sleep in straw and garlic and be like, listen, dude, it's either you sleep tonight in the old straw garlic bed. Or you're going to wake up and you're going to be in the monster cave. So I guess I kind of understand that. But man, come on. The colander. Place a colander outside the door. And I guess it'll start counting the holes. Like, what the? I don't know, dude. But those are. So maybe if you're into telling your child some scary stories about Christmas, I just fueled your brain up for some. And hell, maybe you can just use this to workshop and make your own. You know what I mean? You never know. It's what could happen. Like, maybe just mix them all up, make them all, you know what I mean? Make like a, I don't know, like a build your own adventure Christmas horror holotime. Yeah, holotime. Holiday extravaganza. What was I going to look up? Oh, yeah. Top three worst pagan gods. Oh, that sounds kind of bad, but like, I want to know, maybe not the worst, but like, yeah, the top five evil gods of that, death and destruction. All right, let's see here. Well, let's just add on to the Christmas thing because the first article that popped up. Humans as a species love to take inspiration from other cultures, customs, and traditions. And believe it or not, Christmas is no different. If you thought these cozy traditions you knew and loved were just about celebrating Christmas, think again. Things like kissing under a mistletoe, caroling, wreaths, and even gift giving were all aspects of pagan holidays that were adapted into the Christmas celebrations in the early years. So, who were the pagans? The first things first, what do we mean when we say pagan? I don't know. But I'm about to tell you. This is a sweeping term that encompasses anybody from the Romans to the Norse and Scandinavia. As Christianity spread through the Europe in the early ADs, missionaries got to know a lot of different groups of people with varying religious systems and beliefs. All these people and religions were lumped into a catch-all term of pagan. Oh, that makes sense. I actually never knew that. Although Christians had the goal of spreading their religion across Europe, they were still quite fascinated by many of the customs and ways of the pagans. Clearly, they were fascinated enough to pick up a few of the beliefs and traditions apart from the Christian celebrations. Yeah, we all knew all that. So in our modern day image of a Santa Claus clad in red fur with a big white beard was largely developed by Coca-Cola in the 1930s. But the idea of an old man giving gifts to children dates much earlier than that, back to the times of the pagans. Father Christmas, otherwise known as Saint Nicholas, was a patron saint of the children, the poor, and the prostitutes. Living around 4th century AD, Saint Nicholas was a generous bishop who was known for giving gifts to the poor while sporting a big beard and a long cloak, much like the Santa we all know and love. But before Saint Nicholas, there was another bearded man called Odin. His deity was worshipped by early Germanic pagan tribes, traditionally portrayed as an old man with a long white beard and an eight-legged horse called Sleipnir. who he would ride through the skies, just like Santa's reindeer. During the winter, kids would fill their booties with carrots and straw and leave them by the chimney for Sleipnir to feed on. Odin would fly by and reward the children with little presents in their booties, much like we do with the Christmas stockings today. The Santa Claus we all imagine in our heads is a mishmash of generous St. Nicholas, the god Odin, and Sleipnir, I don't know, and Coca-Cola's most iconic red dress character. It doesn't surprise me that a corporation would, like, yeah, I mean, especially fucking Coca-Cola, like, jump on something like that. Yeah, here we go. Let's do another one. Kissing under a mistletoe. Ever wondered about the correlation between mistletoe and kissing? Well, funnily enough, the tradition goes all the way back to the pagans. Everyone during the Romans and Celts to the Druids and the Norse had a thing about mistletoe. It was considered to be a highly sacred plant involved in several pagan rituals. The pagan rituals, for shit, is the wild part of the pagan side of things. In the Roman world, mistletoe honored the god Saturn. To keep him happy, they would perform fertility rituals underneath sprigs of mistletoe. Yes, that's exactly what it sounds like. We've certainly toned it down as far as mistletoes are considered and left with it just as a simple kiss. Probably a good idea since family is always around. That's funny. In the world of the Druids, mistletoe is symbolized peace and joy. In times of war, if enemies were to meet underneath woodland mistletoe, then they would drop their weapons and form a truce until the next day. In a way, kissing is a form of truce. Yeah, they're totally lying about that. Those guys, when they met up on the battlefield, they dropped their swords, but they also kissed too, probably. You know what I mean? He's like, come on, bring it in. You know, I'm not going to discriminate. We'll throw our sword. We'll fight tomorrow. But we're going to kiss today. let's see what else they got on here. Anything good? So decking the halls with holly. It says, mistletoe wasn't the only sacred plant for pagans. Holly was another holy plant connected to the god Saturn. During the Saturnalia holiday, Romans made holly wreaths to exchange as gifts for good luck. And it says, at the time of Saturnalia, early Christians began to celebrate Christmas. However, they were often persecuted for practicing their new religion. It was lucky that Christmas coincided with Saturnalia, as it allowed Christians to harbor a cover for their celebrations. Oh, those little dogs. To avoid detection and make it look like they were celebrating the Saturnalia, Christians started hanging holly wreaths around their homes. This allowed them to recognize other Christians and still do something nice to celebrate their sacred holiday. It said eventually as pagans decreased, holly became a symbol of Christmas instead of their Saturday, yeah, Saturnalia. Yeah, I don't, when you start talking about all this crazy, creepy stuff, it always seems like those are the most confusing, wild stories. You know, I guess that's what you get, a little bit crazy, a little bit of wild mixed in for your Friday. Hopefully you have a good, you know, maybe you got a good story to tell your kid before bed tonight, how Krampus is going to be outside their windows, the goat, half man, half Santa guy, and he'll get you. Ha ha. But yeah, I think that's all we got for this Friday. Be a little bit shorter of an episode, but so I cannot believe I completely spaced out today about today's episode. Yeah, I told my wife, I said, I even posted online like, hey, episode will be out this afternoon. We're going to hang out. Yep, here I am, maybe a little bit later in the afternoon. So hopefully you enjoy your Friday night. Hopefully you enjoy your weekend. Or, you know, if you got big plans, hell yeah. If not, you're just going to be a bum, hell yeah. Do what you do, hang out. And you can always find me, Rockhound Radio, anywhere you find your podcast. I'm all over the place. Pretty much anywhere you can stream podcasts, you can find me. You can also find me on TikTok and Facebook. And you can also find me on Call of Duty. So reach out there, the infamous Rocco on PlayStation. If you want to play some COD, let me know. Or maybe we'll figure something out. I haven't played much of Warzone because I've been watching the people stream it on TikTok. And I don't feel like I want any part of that. So yeah, I'll see you guys next week for more Pokemon and who knows what next Friday. So thanks for listening. Thanks for all your support. And have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.